You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 41. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here. This week, let's talk about how submissives can, should, and do handle the different parts of our lives. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at kaylalords.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow me on Twitter, at kaylalords, or stalk John Brownstone at southernsirsplace.com. All links are in the show notes. No John Brownstone this week, and possibly not next week either, but don't worry, I'll get him back on as soon as I can. Today, I'm taking a question I received from a listener, shout out to Tora Princess, and expanding on it a bit because I think all submissives can relate in some form or fashion. So her original question was about how to handle the two sides of your kinky life if you're both submissive and a baby girl, as I am and as she is. Now, it's a valid question, and I will definitely do my best to answer it later, but since not everyone is a baby girl or baby boy, I wanted to talk about it as part of a bigger conversation. So this is me speaking as a submissive from my own perspective, okay? But I don't really think I'm alone in this, and no, I'm not even going to try to take on the dominance perspective about dealing with the different sides of y'all's lives, because when I even mentioned it might be different for submissives than for dominants, John Brownstone immediately pushed back and didn't agree, and so I'm going to leave that one to the expert, and I am not a dominant expert. But for the dominants out there, this may be something you want to hear so that you can understand your submissive a little bit better and find ways to help them when they need it, okay? So as a submissive, for me, okay, remember for me, y'all, it is absolutely an inherent part of who I am, okay? It's like having brown eyes or needing glasses. It's not something I take on and off at will, and I think a lot of submissives can relate to that. Not all. I mean, there are some who are submissive only in specific situations, but a lot of us, we're just submissive all the time. Whether we get to act that way or not, we are who we are. But the reality is, whether it's part of who we are or not, in a vanilla world, we can't always be our submissive selves, okay? So yes, I can serve and take care of the people that I love and respect who are in no way part of kink or DS, and I do. But it's in no way the same actual way or even really the same spirit as the way I take care of my daddy. I mean, think about it. As a parent, I can't let my submissive side out, the one that wants to take care of every little detail and certainly not the part of me that acquiesces to demands. I mean, yes, we take care of our children. We, you know, make sure they have the things they need, but it's not the same. I mean, first of all, if I was my submissive self with my children, I'd be raising spoiled little brats. And second, as a parent, I have different responsibilities than the responsibilities I have as a submissive, okay? And frankly, I have to use very specific tones of voice and expressions as a parent that are completely different from being a submissive, and they would never be okay when I'm with John Brownstone and we are our DS selves. Next, there's being an employee. As an employee, submissives might want to please their boss. And frankly, I made a lot more sense to myself even as an employee when I realized I was submissive too. You know, I was always trying to take on more, do more, make my boss happy. My boss was an authority figure and thankfully someone I respected. So I always did the best I could. I mean, yeah, partly that was for me in my career and partly because I think it's the right thing to do, but really it came down to I wanted to make my boss happy. And we all know how we are when we have a boss. We do not like, hello, submissives, listen to me. You know what I'm talking about. You have that boss that you do not respect, you do not like. You'll do your job because it's the right thing, but there's no joy in it. There's no taking on extra. There's none of that. It's not that. In that sense, it's not that much different than being the dominant you're not happy with anymore in an unhappy DS relationship. You don't want to do the things you're supposed to. You don't want to take on more. You don't want the responsibility. You don't want to serve. So, I mean, there are some similarities, but it's still not the same thing. As a coworker in my opinion, we definitely can't be our submissive selves all the time, okay? Yeah, sometimes we want to help people and we want to help take care of our friends who are coworkers, but think about it. Someone is going to take advantage of that nature. Someone else is going to consider us weak and treat us that way. And eventually, someone is going to piss us off and we're going to, rightly, turn on them and have to tell them what we think, okay? I can see that being a problem. I can see that, like, being awful. So no, being submissive and being a coworker, you don't get to do both. It's very, very difficult. Now, I can see someone making the argument that if you're submissive and you work with customers, you can be your submissive self. And those people have never worked with customers, okay? I spent a lot of time working with customers. It's kind of every job I had from the time I was 17 until, how old am I now? And you actually become more of an authority figure because you have to explain how things work. You have to tell them no. Yes, we actually do tell customers and people who pay us money no. You have to deal with badly behaved customers. You know, it's not a submissive role at all. I don't care that you're serving in a restaurant or you're standing behind a cash register. You might have the appearance of serving, but it is nothing like a submissive role. And just like shitty coworkers, customers will walk all over you if you let that side of yourself out. Okay, it's not exactly a good idea. So let's go to the next role we take on where our submissive self doesn't really work, at least from my personal perspective. Some of us may be sort of submissive with our parents, but it's not in any way the same kind of submission. It's in a people-pleasing, taking care of them kind of way. And for me, that would never work. I can't be my submissive self and my mom's kid, okay? First of all, my mother would ask what the hell is wrong with me, and then tell me to leave her the hell alone. And how do I know? Because when I spent a week with her after she had surgery trying to be the good daughter and take care of her, that's pretty much what she did. She didn't even like me driving down to Starbucks to get her something to drink, y'all. She wanted to do it for herself. But second, while she and I, we care for each other a great deal. We're very, very close. I'm an only child. She's my only remaining parent. We're kind of all we have left when it comes to our original nuclear family. We have what we call the 72-hour rule. Now, what the hell is that? That means that after 72 hours together, we have to go to our separate corners. We have to have our own space. We cannot be around each other anymore because while we love one another very much, at that point, after 72 hours, we do not like each other. So no, I'm in no way submissive when I am being a child to my mother, okay? It just doesn't work. So yes, as she gets older, I will take care of her and I will take care of her needs and I will, you know, serve her in certain ways as she needs it, but it's not in any way the same. It's a completely separate role. So it really, really should not come to any surprise that we have different personas that we have to take on at any given moment, in any given day, that force us to sort of turn down the volume of our submissive self, okay? It doesn't change who we are or what we need, but that need is or can be fulfilled by a dominant or a top, okay? It's not fulfilled by being, you know, submissive to our children, submissive to our boss, submissive to our coworkers or customers or our parents. It's a completely different thing. And in all of those other roles, being a submissive will usually get you knocked around and treated sometimes like crap, and you might end up raising awful people. So it's a completely separate entity, okay? Even though I'm not saying we can't serve those people, I could see the argument being made you can be in a submissive frame of mind when you do it, but I just think it's something completely different. And as a submissive, our responsibility is to our dominant, and it is, we've given control up to that one person. In our other roles, our responsibility is to something greater, like raising our children to be responsible adults, and our sense of self-preservation, like not getting used by people who would take advantage of our giving nature. You know, that has to kick in at some point. So what that means in your DS relationship is that submission can easily, or let me say that again, submissives can easily stop feeling their own submission, their own submissive self, okay? Too many hours or days or months in a role of control or a position of authority can and will take a toll, okay? We have to kind of shut down our submissive self, even when we are doing things that can appear submissive to other people, And we can't always turn it right back on, okay? And you don't have to be a high-powered executive for that to happen. After just 1 week of having my kids home all day long, I was a freaking basket case, okay? Because I had already spent the day yelling at people to turn down their video games and to pick up their socks and to eat their lunch and to walk the dog and all these things I don't even normally have to do in a given day. But it was a role of authority that I'm fine with. I'm their mother. I've been a mother for 10 years, almost 11. But at the end of the day, when John Brownstone came home, it was not a simple matter of just flipping a switch. It never is, okay? And by the time he gets home, the last thing I feel is submissive. But thankfully, first of all, I've got a dominant who gets it. There's such a thing as resets. And we paid really good money for them to go to a day program for the summer. So, you know, there are solutions to some of those problems. But when it gets like that, whether it's your role as a parent or it's your role as an employee, it's your role, even if it's your role as a boss or whatever it is that takes you out of that submissive mindset, that's a different role, you have to find ways to communicate your needs to your dominant. Okay. Now here in our relationship, we use a code. When I tell him that my skin feels too tight, which is exactly how it feels, it's the only description I can come up with, he knows at this point that I need a spanking or really, really rough sex or something that's going to release the tension for me. Okay. I need to feel his control over me to be reminded of my place in our relationship and of who I am. Okay. It flips that switch for me. It turns down the dial of the other roles I have to play, and it turns up the dial of submission, okay? Now, when you have to go too long without that release and reminder, it can make you behave badly. Ask me how I know. Temper tantrums, agitation, tears, numbness, forgetting your rules, disregarding your rules, lack of respect, you name it. Okay, I've probably experienced it and more, okay? I don't care how good we may appear on, you know, outside looking in, submissives can have bad days and they can break the rules even though we desperately don't want to. And it usually leads to consequences we don't love, but it's most often it's because we're having a hard time switching between the role we have that is our what we feel is sort of our truest self with our in our relationship and the role we have to play in our vanilla life, okay? Now, for my single submissive listeners, especially to a very specific person who actually asked this question, you're probably wondering, well, what the hell are you supposed to do if you don't have a dominant who can reset you? You know, I have John Brownstone. He's going to give me a spanking. He's going to beat my ass. He's going to pull my hair. He's going to do something, okay? And no, it's not necessarily going to be a two-hour scene. It could be 5 minutes, and that might be all I need. So if you're single, you're thinking, well, what the hell am I supposed to do? I have that same problem. I don't even get to be submissive most of the time because I'm single. I get it. I hear you. I promise. I wish I had good, clear-cut answers like instructions. Do these three things and you'll always be better. It doesn't work that way. It sort of comes down to your own comfort level and the people you know and what you're willing to do. Because what I have figured out was by accident, okay? Back in the day, before I met John Brownstone, I didn't understand yet the need for this kind of release. I wasn't thinking consciously about my different roles and not feeling submissive. I didn't have a dominant, so I kind of had that mindset of, well, I'm not submissive. Well, yes and no. I'm not in a submissive role, but if it's an inherent part of who I am, I'm always submissive. So that tension can still build and that you can still need that release. So I came up with accidentally a couple of very temporary fixes that worked for me, that helped. And they are temporary, y'all. This is not something that I would say, oh, this is the thing you always do and it will always work. So the first one, and some of you should not be shocked I'm going to say this, masturbation. Okay, it's a huge stress reliever in general. Whether you're in a relationship or not, it can be a good stress reliever. I would actually force my own orgasms until it hurt because I'm a masochist and I like the pain and the I didn't think about it this way at the time because I didn't talk about this stuff all day long like I do now, but that pain was cleansing. Okay. Looking back on it, that's what it did. It sort of cleansed everything. And the simple act of having an orgasm, one or multiples, didn't matter. That would help me sleep. What I was always looking for, if I was feeling the tension and I would masturbate, hand, toy, didn't matter, fantasy, no fantasy, none of that mattered. I wanted to be spent when it was done. Now that I have, thanks to John Brownstone, who gave it to me as a gift, now that I have a Hitachi, if I need to be spent, I turn that thing on for about 2 minutes and I'm good. But at the time, I didn't have that. I don't even think I had any toys when I was still single. It was me and my hand and my imagination. But whatever you have that can give you that, it really will help. And the nice thing is, after you have like one big orgasm or several or whatever you do, you'll probably sleep better. And a good night's sleep does wonders. I don't care what your flavor of sex is or your relationship dynamic. A good night's sleep really kind of cures almost everything. So if you're not sleep, I would not be surprised if you're, especially if you're a single submissive, you're not sleeping well, have an orgasm or two, give yourself an orgasm or two, masturbate, you'll sleep, you'll feel a little bit better the next day. The other one, and I'm going to caution you on this, y'all, because it will not always work and it will not always end well, and I'm not going to pretend like it will, but it worked for me. I got lucky, I guess. If you play online with somebody else, and this is pure play, okay? Tumblr, FetLife, somebody you found on a blog, somebody you followed, you know, on Reddit, whatever, wherever you're meeting people that happen to be tops or dominants or whatever, kinky people that, you know, want to sext and everybody's jacking off and it's nothing serious and there's no expectation of something more permanent or more meaningful, it really can be beneficial. I would do it either through FetLife messages or text message or Skype or email or all kinds of stuff, okay? I had a couple people that found me through the blog, be shocked by that, right? There I was showing my tits off and writing out all my erotic fantasies. And oh, gee, interested men came around, right? Yeah, not surprising at all. But it was not a permanent thing. These were not my lovers. I was not going to meet them in real life. It felt real in the moment, but my very pragmatic mind knew that this was just temporary. This was just a quick fix. Some of them were my friends, and we talked for weeks. And then some of them, it was like a one or two time deal. But it was kind of nice. It meant I was still masturbating, which I had already been doing, but I wasn't alone. For a few moments for an evening, somebody got control of my orgasms. I was willing to do that because I knew in my mind, this is not permanent. This is not serious. They were not my dominant. They weren't even really my top. We were just sort of playing. And so by the end of the play session, 30 minutes, an hour, less, more, whatever, I had an orgasm. I had a very temporary feeling of giving up control. And then I had a good night's sleep. Now, it is not a long-term solution. If you are interested in actually having a partner, it is not something I recommend for every single encounter you have with people. But if you have that kind of person, you know, that you know, that you flirt with, that they're kind of willing to do that kind of stuff with you, it's okay. You know, it can help. It really can. So I have one more solution for my single submissive friends out there. And it's not my most popular solution, even though I have gotten emails from people that say, oh my gosh, I did that and it worked. Because it's not popular because it's scary and most of you will resist it. And I understand that, but just hear me out. Here's what I want you to listen. Lean into your earbuds, okay? Here's what you're going to do to find a way to release some of your submissive tension. You hear me? Go to a munch, okay? Get out in the local community. You can find your local community on FetLife. Yes, FetLife has a lot of problems. I will not deny that, but it is really good for actually finding the people in your local area who are kinky, because guess what? You're not actually alone in the world, I promise. So no, at a munch, you are not going to, you know, go get your ass spanked by a top that you don't even know, you know, to relieve tension. That's not what's going to happen. But you might meet somebody that you think is a cool person that could become your play partner later on once you sort of gain some comfort level and maybe venture out to a local club or a play party where you feel safe. Remember, you have to feel safe in all of this. And if you do not, please don't progress. But, you know, you might meet somebody. You might meet your future dom. You never know. But you certainly could meet somebody that you might have a good vibe with and they're fun and you see how they, you know, treat other submissives and other doms and they're respectful. And you know, you think, oh, yeah, this person might be okay, and I'll watch them play, and I'll get to know them a little bit better, but there's potential there. The other thing you might do, and this actually works wonders for me when I do finally get to go to a munch, it's been several months, you get to talk to other people like you. Now, as a submissive, hey, submissives listening out there, single submissive friends, go find other submissives to hang out with. I don't know why this is, and it tends to be female submissives, but not necessarily. When we get together, at least in my local area, and I don't really care how you identify, submissive, baby girl, slave. We all, if once we're comfortable, we all tend to giggle. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm giggling so loud, I just think everybody else is giggling. But there's a lot of laughter. And, you know, there's a lot of commiseration, whether you're attached or not. You know, we all kind of go through some of the same things, have some of the same feelings. And just one afternoon of talking to other people like you, even though there's no sex involved and there's no kink involved and there's no fetish involved and there's none of that, can help you. It can reset you. It can calm you. It can center you. It can remind you that you're not alone. It can relax you, and you can sort of face the world better. And best of all, if everything goes really, really well, you may walk out of there with a couple new friends and people to hang out with within your local kink community, or, you know, take them to lunch in the vanilla world kind of thing, you know? So I know, I get it. When you're single, finding a way to release the tension when it builds is difficult, and it requires work. It requires much more work to me for a single person than it does for a submissive in a good DS relationship, okay? I do not recommend, and I'm telling you right now, please, please, please do not, just because you want somebody who can give you the kind of things I described that John Brownstone gives me, or that you read in a book, or somebody else's blog talks about what they do in their relationship. Do not, for the love of God, go on some sort of desperate, mad search for a dominant. Because you know what you're going to find when you're desperately looking for one? You're probably going to find one that you would never give the time of day to otherwise, okay? You're probably going to find one of the bad ones. And I worry for y'all out there. I know you're desperate. I know you hate the feeling. I know you want to relieve the tension. You want what you see. Please, please, please do not go on a desperate search. I would much rather you find a temporary play partner that's got a good vibe and you feel confident enough about, you could trust in a moment to let them spank you, than to like pick up some random person who calls themselves dominant and has nothing to show for it and is not one you want, okay? Oh, and since I happened to mention finding a dom, I do want to let you know I am going to do an episode on my thoughts about the search for a dominant. There is no like one-stop shop for finding one. There's multiple methods, and several people have asked me about that, and I have taken a while to answer all of you back because there's not really one good answer. But I am going to do an episode on it soon. So that is coming, I promise, I swear. But in the meantime, y'all, my single friends, do what you have to do to find some temporary relief. If you go to a munch, there's so many cool things that can happen when you go to a munch. Meet people, you feel less alone. You might even flirt with a dom, okay? And you get that dom look from somebody that you know is a dom, and you're like, ooh, they're kind of cool, and I kind of like them. You know, that alone can be enough, and it can sort of can be a balm to your soul for a while. And you know, okay, I've like gone down a whole other lane I meant to, and I'm like thinking of the dom look now. I'm gonna move on. We are going to move on, okay? Are we clear? For submissives with dominance, you need to communicate the tension you're feeling with your dom, find a cue or a code you can use, and give yourself over to their control and keeping. Whatever that might look like, whether you live together or you date or you're a long distance, there's ways you can give up control. Let yourself be reset so you can face another day. And for my single submissive friends, give yourself temporary release, whether it's in fantasy or by getting out there and just meeting other people like you, okay? Because really, you have no idea what you might find when you do. So now that I've like gone way down that rabbit hole, and if you're still with me, yay for you, love you for it, I'm going to get back to the actual original question that prompted this whole episode, okay? And I know I'm not talking to everybody out there, but I think I'm talking to, I think more of us are just, most of us are more than just submissive. I'm just a submissive. Well, what about parts of your personality that sort of creep in, right? So the original question is, what do you do when it's not that it's your submissive life and your vanilla life that are kind of competing within you and causing problems, but it's your submissive self and, like in my case, in Tori's case, your baby girl self. Now, I think this applies to anybody of any gender with any other sort of self that they see within themselves. Maybe you're into pet play, or maybe you're like a bona fide little, like you've got an age and you've got, you know, gear that goes with it. I am not one of those littles. Baby girls and littles are in the same family, but kind of sort of different. Whatever it is, okay, that you identify that goes along with your submissive nature, but isn't just strict submission. And I think that's probably more common than we know. Anyway, so here's the deal, okay? The submissives serves and submits. We do what we're told. We follow commands. We complete tasks. We show obedience. That's what a submissive does. In whatever form your relationship takes, that's basically what you do. Now, I can't speak for anyone else or any other type of sort of persona, but baby girl is different, y'all. Baby girl does the things a submissive does, absolutely, okay? Especially when life is good and easy and everyone's happy, okay? Especially then. As a baby girl, I want to please my daddy as much as I want to please my dom as a submissive or please my sadist as a masochist, okay? It's a give and take. It's a power exchange. There's control taken. There's control given up. You know, yes, I want my other half to be happy. I want them to have what they want. Absolutely. And it is much easier to want that and to make that happen when life is good. But life isn't always good, and we all know that. And everyone isn't always happy. And eventually, what I'm supposed to do as a submissive will conflict with what I want to do as a baby girl. And God, that sucks when it happens. It's awful when it happens. So back in the day, before I sort of figured this out about myself, in the very early days of our relationship, before I even called him daddy, he wasn't even officially daddy yet, I would have like a mental war with myself about what I want to do versus what I'm supposed to do, what I want to do versus what I need to do. And my submissive side didn't always win, y'all. Did not always win. I didn't realize at the time that I had that divide within me and that the divide was truly different. There were a lot of similarities, a lot of overlap, but there were some major, major differences. All I knew at the time is that, oops, I made a really bad decision whether not to do something I was supposed to or to do something I wasn't. And there were consequences for that. And that is where DS kicks in, okay? When your sub side and your baby girl side or your other persona are not cooperating with one another and you are having this sort of mental war of what do I do? This is what I want. This is what I'm supposed to do. Oh my gosh. Your DS has to kick in, okay? Daddy is my dominant above all else. And he's a good daddy, okay? So when I made an error in judgment and let the baby girl side win, there were consequences. Painful consequences, okay? We're not talking about punishment. We are not talking about the little giggle and the little wink and the little twinkle in your eye and you get the spanking you really want. We're talking about actual consequences. Corner time. No orgasms. We talked about this a few episodes ago. One of my punishments one time, I had to watch him masturbate. That was awful. That was awful because it was not what I wanted. That was not a turn on at the time. Not only did I have to watch him masturbate, I didn't get the end result. I didn't get anything from it. It was awful. And that's the point of a real consequence, okay? It has to be awful because you're supposed to remember it later so you don't make that decision, okay? And that's how it worked. With his discipline and the remembered experience, I didn't make whatever that bad choice happened to have been again. So the next time, because there's always a next time, y'all, the next time that side of me, the baby girl side, wanted to conflict with the submissive side, I remembered what could happen. And most of the time I did what I was supposed to do. I would say in the course of our relationship over the past few years, I've only had punishment, consequences of some sort, like less than five times, like less than a handful of times. Because I remember, and I don't like that. And he made them, I mean, he did it like a good dom and a good daddy should, you know. Think about when you're, as a parent, you punish your kids, you punish them so they won't make that mistake. You make it painful enough so they remember and they don't do that again. Well, it's not, in that sense, it's not that much different, okay? But it's in those kinds of moments when you have the choice to do what you're supposed to do versus what you want to do. And baby girl side's knocking at your door going, oh no, but this will be so much more fun and it'll be okay and nobody really cares, right? It's in those moments that your dominant has to step up and do their job. It's one of the responsibilities of being a dominant. If this is your agreement and this is your power exchange and you said, I will obey these things and I will do these things and these are the expectations that you can have of me, and you have not communicated that there's a problem with doing it, and you made the decision not because you don't want to be their submissive, but because, you know, the little cheeky side of you went, oh, do this instead. Well, this is what's supposed to happen. And for dominance, what you have to remember is that when you see that happen, you really need to step up and say, whoa, that's not okay. If you don't want, especially particularly, if you don't want that behavior to continue, if you don't want that to become a habit that they have. And that's all dependent on your relationship and your dynamic. There's no, I can't tell you when you should do that and when you shouldn't, but it is something you, it's part of the job of the dominant. Now, that's when I'm faced with a choice and the two sides. It's a little bit like having the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other, right? But sometimes, and this is what happens more and more often, it's in times of stress when my baby girl side is strong. With John Brownstone, I am almost always baby girl in the sense of that part of myself comes out, good or bad. It's the most vulnerable part of who I am. Yes, it's the giggly side of me, but it's also the teary, whiny, cry baby side of me too. Even though the submissive side, the part of how I act is always sort of in the background, you know, what the actions I take, let me say, the actions I take, do I do my tasks or do what I'm supposed to do? Do I behave? All those things, that part of me is sort of inherent, but how I portray myself verbally and with my facial expressions is almost always baby girl. It's very rare that it's not. So my submissive side wants to submit and serve, right? That's always going on in the background. That's always there, keeping me responsible, keeping me going, doing things I'm supposed to do. But my baby girl side wants to have fun and wants to be taken care of, okay? Now, like I said before, when everything's good, it is easy to be both, okay? I might get a little cheeky. I might, you know, he tries to say bratty. I'm not a brat, but I will get sassy because I take a joke too far. I take my sarcasm too far. I tease too much, whatever. I kind of like tweaking his nose. That part's fun too. But when it's bad, holy hell, y'all, it's bad. When times are really bad and I have to choose between doing what I'm supposed to do and wanting to be taken care of, because that's usually what happens when life gets stressful or something bad happens. If it's not me taking care of him, if it's something that's happening to me or it's something happening outside of us and it's not, you know, oh, daddy's sick, he needs me, my submissive side, man, that kicks in overdrive. Baby girl is put on a back shelf somewhere and I'm taking care of my daddy. But when it's not within our DS dynamic, it's something outside of us, whether I'm sick or work got stressful or he's stressed out because of work or something I can't help him with, or whatever, the kids are crazy or money's tighter, who knows, right? Pick a stress, any stress. That's when baby girl wants to be taken care of. And that is when the two sides can and will war. Now, like I said, as y'all know, I have a very good daddy. So when it's because I'm sick or I'm stressed or I'm upset or I'm sad, like I said, by default, my baby girl side is coming out. And that's when I need him to take care of me. But the thing is, he will take care of me. Okay. If it's something affecting me negatively, and usually like it's just me, like I'm sick or something, he is going to cut me some slack on my tasks. He doesn't want me, like if I have a bad headache or my body, I had body aches the other day. I was ended up found out I was dehydrated. He didn't want me to kneel. He didn't ask me to make his coffee. He didn't want me to do anything. He wanted me to sit and rest. Okay. He'll bring me my blanket. He'll get me a drink. He got me a glass of water like at midnight that same day when we realized I was dehydrated. So, you know, he will do those things because that's what good daddies and good doms and good partners do, right? But eventually, because see, here's the thing. Baby girl is very strong and baby girl really likes to be taken care of. So I admit it. That side of me will sometimes milk it a little bit. So eventually he has to go more dom than daddy. He has to push me. And really, I think daddies are capable of it too, even if they don't identify as dominance. He has to push me, okay? I only get to wallow so much for so long. And like if I was sick or something or I was in pain, once I'm better and I'm back to my strength, I have to get back to the routine. And sometimes you have to jump in with both feet. And he'll be the first one to push and prod me if I'm not doing it myself. Now, sometimes my own sort of submissive nature wants to do that too. I'm tired of being in bed. I'm tired of being sick. I want to take care of my daddy because that's what I do, right? And I jump back in and it's no problem. But there are times when it's not that simple. And I'm thinking, oh, laying on this couch is really, really nice with my Hello Kitty blankie and, you know, my phone in my hand and no responsibilities. And oh, this is really nice. Right? And I'd do it forever if you let me. Well, he's not going to let me. His responsibility is to make sure I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do. And that our DS relationship is functioning, just like that's part of my responsibility to make sure our DS relationship is functioning. So he's going to push me. If I let baby girl suck up too much of the of space and time and air, he's going to go, no, you can't do that. You know, you need to get back up. You need to go do what you're supposed to do. And it's one of those things, just like your reset, when the other parts of yourself, your kinky self, conflict with your submissive side, the part of you that actually gave up the power and control within your relationship. When that happens, you have to lean on your DS relationship. You have to allow your DS relationship to work and function the way it's supposed to get yourself back to where you need to be, okay? And to the dominants out there, I would say it's, you have to be careful, okay? If you don't push your baby girl or your puppy or your kitten to get back to their submissive side, to get back to their tasks and their responsibilities and that part of your relationship, you could have some serious consequences. You could have a spoiled, selfish baby girl like I can be. I mean, I know that. I know if allowed to just sort of be my baby girl self all the time with no check, you know, self-check or otherwise, or John Brownstone, it could be awful. You know, I could be the worst kind of princess. Let's put it that way. Tiara or not, I could be the worst kind. Now, for you, my baby girl friends out there, and I really am probably speaking to the baby girls and the littles because I can hear your voice most clearly in my head. I know there's going to be those times you're like, but I don't want to. And there's that little whine. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you can't get yourself back, or you won't allow your dominant to sort of push you back into your submissive role, like where you need to be, that's part of the main part of your relationship, your tasks, your responsibilities, those kinds of things, be prepared to deal with the consequences. And dominance, there needs to be consequences. If you tell your submissive to do something and they can't or won't get back into that part of who they are, and it's negative and it impacts your relationship negatively, then you have to handle it, okay? Now, on the other side of that, just like you can have way too much of a good thing, there are times you can have not enough. Just like in the, you know, after a long day or week or whatever of being very vanilla and not getting to feel submissive, you can need a reset. The same thing happens for those of us who have sort of a baby girl or a whatever the other persona might be, whatever that side is. If it has to be bottled up too much because of life or parenting or stress or whatever, blah, 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 pick something, it's going to explode out at the worst times, and it's going to come out in the worst ways. And I'm probably not going to be a good submissive in that moment. I'll be a great baby girl, but not a very good submissive. There's whining, there's tears, there's temper tantrums. Do you remember all that stuff I mentioned earlier that can happen? Yeah, it'll happen here too. My advice for that, when you can, is to create space in your day or just your routine somewhere that allows that side of you out, okay? It can be in your rituals or shows you watch or things you do or activities you do together or alone. A bedtime routine, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. But if you have, you know, especially there are times last year when daddy's sister was sick, and then when she died, I was not baby girl. I mean, I'm always baby girl, but I was not baby girl. I was just submissive, and I was in charge of a lot of stuff. I was taking care of stuff around the house, so he had one less thing to worry about, and he could go take care of his family. By the time we came back around to kind of sort of being ourselves again, I needed a baby girl fix so bad. I mean, at that point I was breaking down in tears over nothing, because that's the only part of me that could respond anymore. There weren't giggles, and there wasn't teasing, and there weren't pigtails, and, you know, I wasn't watching Disney movies, and I wasn't doing any of that stuff. There wasn't time or space for any of that stuff. And by the time it manifested, it was the negative side, and it was ugly and yucky and stressful and awful. So when you can, and you won't always be able to, but when you can, make space for that other side to get some release and to be out and to just be unfettered and, you know, to play and to be playful and whatever that is for you. Now for my single submissive friends, I can tell you, you can do that. That at least you can do on your own, okay? You can have your favorite cartoon that you watch, or you can have your stuffy you always sleep with, or you can have, you know, whatever the activity is that links you to a baby girl or, you know, boy or a puppy or a kitten or whatever. You can do that on your own. Is it as satisfying on your own as it is with a partner? Not always, no. But it's an option, and you don't have to just pretend that part of you doesn't exist. And hell, in the privacy of your own home with nobody paying attention, you could probably get wilder and crazier. I've seen some shit on Tumblr, y'all. People doing some crazy stuff because they were by themselves and it didn't matter. And it was a release for them. And there's no shame in that, okay? You're an adult. You're, you know, not... whatever freaky thing you do on your own, you're not hurting anybody. So, like, go for it. I don't quite know how to close this or end this, because it's not just a submissive baby girl thing. It happens to all of us. It's not even just a submissive thing. I mean, I can admit, I think it is different for dominance. I think society allows dominance to be a little bit more aggressive, especially if you're a male dominant. You can be a little bit more aggressive. You can kind of, you know, we sort of look up to people who take charge, who lead, you know, and dominants are leaders. Good dominants are leaders. Let me clarify. But I think we all kind of go through this in our own way. And it's not just submissives. It's certainly not just female submissives. It's all of us. You know, we have to find ways to be who we are and still navigate a world that has no clue most of the time what we are or objects to what we are. You know, what we do is fringe. And I don't have a problem being fringe. And I don't even have a problem keeping it to myself for the most part. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't affect me, you know, mentally and otherwise. So, you know, we need to be able to recognize that it happens. We need to respect the fact that it happens in our partners, and we need to come up with plans and ways to take care of one another and to take care of ourselves. And ultimately, I think that's what it comes down to. When the two parts, you know, when multiple parts of who you are start conflicting, you know, in my case, when my submissive side's like, I really need to go, you know, make that coffee and get that lunch ready and make the bed and do this and do these things that it's expected I'm going to do. That's the agreement we have. And then the other side of me goes, oh, but I don't want to, because that side will always do that. And really, I don't think that's not a submissive thing. I think that's a people thing. But I know that that side's my baby girl side, because that side's going, oh, but what you really want to do is you really want to watch this movie, or you really want to eat chocolate, or you really, you know, all these fun things, the things that I attribute to being baby girl. We have to respect that it happens. We have to acknowledge that it happens. We have to have a plan for it. And I think that's the biggest thing. If you pretend like it's not happening, or you think that somehow you're weird, that you're less submissive, you know, that somehow your submission is an inherent part of who you are because you have this other part of you, that I think that's false thinking. I think that's the thing that we have to deal with. And I think talking about it more is good. I certainly don't think I have all the answers. And so if anybody else kind of goes through this in any, you know, dominant or submissive, and you have tricks and things that you've done or seen that has worked, please share them with me. You know, shoot me an email or comment on the show notes page. That's awesome. I'd certainly love to learn more tricks of the trade, as it were. If you're alone, there are solutions. You might not always be alone. You hope you aren't. I believe you won't be. I do. I'm one of those people that I believe that if you want to find a good partner, you can. Sometimes it takes work, and sometimes it takes pretending that, you know, telling yourself you don't care anymore. That's what I did. I was like, I don't want a dominant. I'll be fine by myself. I'll be alone forever. I'll be the crazy cat lady. And then John Brownstone showed up. So, you know, we can't predict when it'll happen, but for the singles out there, you can take care of yourself. I think you need to take care of yourself more than those of us who are in good relationships do. If you're in a bad relationship, you know how I feel about that, especially if you're not being taken care of. If you are in a relationship and you have heard what I've said and it is completely foreign to you that your dominant could help you through this, first of all, talk to them about it. That's always the first step. And second, if they don't respond, or if they're like, what? You may need to reevaluate. Y'all know how I feel about bad relationships. I've not made that, you know, a secret. So we have to take care of ourselves, and we have to take care of each other, and we have to kind of, you know, figure out how to embrace who we are, good, bad, and ugly, and then work within that. And, you know, when we do, I think we become better people in general, regardless of our flavor. And I think we become better kingsters. You know, I feel like I'm a better submissive today than I was when John Brownstone and I first moved in together 2 years ago. I know I'm a better submissive than when we first met. You know, the more we do this, the more we grow, the more we learn, the more we experience, it broadens our horizons, and we can handle the stresses a lot better. So I'm going to leave you with that, you know, it's all a process. Find what works for you. Keep learning. Help each other. Help yourselves. And, you know, remember, nothing is permanent. You know, whatever's happening today, give it some time. It'll change. It'll be okay. It can get better. So with that, I'll just say, keep it kinky, and we'll see you next week.